Good evening. Welcome to our final Wednesday Lenten service of the season. Tonight our theme, continuing on with the Unlent theme that we've been doing, is reflect on how we are unrighteous. And so just reflect upon that throughout the evening and, of course, during the message itself. I invite you to stand, though, as we begin our service, as we always do. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help guide our thoughts this evening. Help us to set aside anything that might pull us away from listening to you and your word, that might distract us or insist that we should not keep our eyes on you. I thank you that we can come together and worship you. All these things I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We continue with singing the hymn, Christ, the Life of All the Living. Let us confess our sins to God our Father. I, a poor sinner, plead guilty before you of all sins. I have lived as if you did not matter, and as if I mattered most. Your name I have not honored as I should. My worship and prayers have faltered. I have not let your love have its way with me, and so my love for others has failed. There are those whom I have hurt, and those whom I have failed to help. My thoughts and desires have been soiled with sin. I am sorry for all of this, and ask for grace. I want to do better. In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. We continue with the Passion reading from Mark's Gospel. At noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. And at 3 p.m, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? When some of those standing near heard this, they said, Listen, he's calling Elijah. Someone ran, filled a sponge with wine vinegar, put it on a staff, and offered it to Jesus to drink. Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down, he said. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus saw how he died, he said, Surely this man was the Son of God. Some women who were watching from a distance, among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the younger, and of Joseph, and Salome. In Galilee, these women had followed him and cared for his needs. Many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem were also there. It was preparation day, that is, the day before the Sabbath. So as evening approached, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent member of the council, who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God, went boldly to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Pilate was surprised to hear that he was already dead. Summoning the centurion, he asked him if Jesus had already died. And when he learned from the centurion that it was so, he gave the body to Joseph. So Joseph bought some linen cloth, took down the body, wrapped it in the linen, and placed it in a tomb cut out of the rock. Then he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where he was laid. Our message scripture reading for tonight comes from the book of Romans, the 3rd chapter. As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. Their throats are open graves. Their tongues practice deceit. The poison of vipers is on their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery mark their ways, and the way of peace they do not know. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by works of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscientious of our sin. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. There's a story that we tell ourselves every day, and it is the story of who you are. This story is made up by a collection of memories. From the moment that you wake up, you remember who you are, what your opinions are on things, how you feel about yourself, how you feel about others, how you believe others feel about you. You might be focused in the morning on some specific task at hand, like showering, eating breakfast, thinking through what you need to do for the day. But at least subconsciously, your mind is running through the story of you. You are the main character in your story. Even if it seems like other people have more interesting stories, it is your thoughts, your actions, your situations that are most fully known, and thus, you are the main character. As the main character, your thoughts and actions are justifiable. Your rationale is flawless. There is a good reason for the things that you say and do. In a word, you are righteous in your story. You're in the right for everything that you do. Anyone who suggests a contrary perspective on your story is probably wrong. You know this to be true. You are more familiar with your story than anyone else can be. You have the extended edition in all the writer's notes. That's not to say that the main character in your story doesn't have flaws, but everyone has flaws, and even your main character's flaws are justifiable. Your main character's flaws don't make your main character a bad person. No, they make him or her human. Those flaws are all relatively minor, like not being able to make a free throw in practice or not knowing all the most popular songs right now. None of your flaws detract from your rightness. None of them make you a bad person, at least according to the story that your memories that you tell yourself daily. But there's another story that, as Christians, we allow to shape our understanding of things. And this story is God's story. Now you might ask, what right does God's story have to influence the story of who we are? Well, the one that we call God created all things. Nothing would exist, nothing would be, if not for the one whom we call God. The library of stories that make up this world, your story, your story, your story, your story, my story. None of those stories would exist if not for God. God's story is a direct affront to your story. And this is because your story is tainted by the perspectives of your sin. Your sin works in direct competition with God's story. Your sin rejects God's story and ever holds up your story as what is true and what is right and what is good. God's story points out exactly how your story is, in fact, unrighteous. Here again, the words of Paul as he pulls together multiple Old Testament passages. As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. Their throats are open graves. Their tongues practice deceit. The poison of vipers is on their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery mark their ways, and the way of peace they do not know. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by works of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sin. You see, God's story allows us to see the truth of our story. It allows us to see that not all of our actions are truly justifiable. Not everything that we think or say is in the right. We are not always righteous. Our story is not truly mindful of the needs of anyone other than ourselves. Thus, when our story comes up against God's story, we are tested. Shall we believe the reality that God's story portrays, even though we think ourselves in the right and are in fact then unrighteous? Or will we hold fast to our own story apart from God's story and reject his revealed reality? To reject his reality is to drive yourself further inward. But to accept his reality is to deny yourself. And this denial of self, this rejection of your story as you perceive it, can cause despair, confusion, and even a crisis of consciousness. Some people reject God's story simply because they believe that in light of God's story, they're only left with brokenness and they can't bear it. They can't handle the brokenness that their unrighteousness leaves them in, and so they cling ever further to the narrative that they tell themselves. But God's story is so much more than a device that breaks down other stories. No, God's story is also a story of new life. God's story has the power to make your story whole again, to make it an even better story. God's story includes the story of his son, Jesus, the story of God's love for you, the story of how God does not want you to stay in your unrighteous state, but that he has provided Jesus, who through his death on the cross atoned for your sin. God's story tells of the Holy Spirit who works in your heart so that you can be mindful of the needs of others. And as you believe God's story, then God's story becomes intertwined with your story. God begins to work in and through you. By yourself, you are unrighteous. But with the power of God, God has made you in the right. God has made your actions justified. God has made you righteous. And when your story that you tell yourself every day includes God's story, then that's a story worth telling. Amen. Please stand as we confess our shared faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that you don't just leave us in our unrighteous state, but you ever call to us to come and follow you. Call us to repent, to turn back to your ways, and to follow where your Spirit leads. So, Lord, I pray that we would walk in your ways, that we would shine your light to a world that desperately needs it, and that we might be used by you to proclaim your truth to all that we come into contact with. Thus, I pray in Jesus' name, who has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he gave it to the disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you his peace. Amen. Well, thank you again for joining us this evening. I pray you have a blessed rest of your night. Just a reminder, so there's no service Wednesday of next week, but we do have our Maundy Thursday service at 7 on Thursday, of course, and our Good Friday on Friday, also again at 7. So love to see you all there. Have a blessed rest of your week.